But you're out here breaking IU basketball scheduling updates after talking to, as Terry Stoltz used to call him, the Emperor today. J.R. Holmes, his son John, will be in town with Miami of Ohio coming up on a Friday night, December 6th. And you learned that perhaps that game was at a different time.
Yeah, I was. When I saw that, I went to John Harrell's site to look at. Because, being a Friday night, first couple of weeks of December, you got to figure South's probably playing somebody because obviously that was, I'm sure that game was set up for him to, have a chance to come back here and coach in his hometown, a lot of those are set up that way. Well, from what I understand, originally it was set for the 14th when I don't think South had a game and they moved it. According to JR, I guess apparently Fox Sports wanted it moved to that Friday. To fill some airtime, I guess, and unfortunately, Bedford North Lawrence will be playing at South that night. So, that kind of took away a chance for JR to go watch his son do a little coaching with Miami of Ohio over at Assembly Hall.
Have I ever told you my thoughts on college football playing on Friday nights? Well, college basketball on Friday nights is very similar, but I'm not naive enough to dismiss the monetary value of their television partners and all of the wonderfulness they provide here on campus. But it stinks, and you just illustrated why it stinks, because you can't be in two places at once. And I think the other part of that as well is they needed to open up the 7th through the, what would that be then, the 20th, the 7th through the, well, 7th through the 16th, so the Big Ten Conference can get their two games in, because, of course, a 20-game schedule is way more important than an 18-game schedule. You got to play those two games somewhere, and you're not going to play them. You're not going to play one and then one around New Year's. You're not going to do that. So I'm guessing that's the other piece of this puzzle. We need to know who the exhibition games are and then those two Big Ten games between the 6th and the 21st, I guess, would be the schedule fixing there. But John Holmes and Miami will be in town. And the Indiana men's basketball non-conference schedule. 8 home games, 3 in the Bahamas. And Jimmy G is right in the middle of it, breaking the news. What else you been doing? The ESPY Awards, they're coming up. A little bit later this week. We're going to have a little Bloomington flavor there. Is that true?
Yeah. I was actually talking to Will Fleming. Hadley Lucas does some training with him, strength training and whatnot. And, talking to him about the weightlifter that he's working with who's going to the Olympics. I have a story worked up on that here soon. But, he mentioned that, she was one of the, she was named the Gatorade track and field, girls track and field athlete for the state of Indiana. And they invite a handful of those winners every year to come out to the ESPYs where that's where they announce the Gatorade High School Athlete of the Year award. And so she was one of the ones that has been invited to head to New York for that. So
very cool. Very New York or L.A.? It's usually in L.A.
I forget where it's at now. I just assumed it was in New York because ESPN being up there in Connecticut and whatnot. But
wherever
it is, she'll be with some of the big time athletes deservedly so. I got the all area girls track team put together, and I guess you can kind of argue that she's kind of like she's the Caitlin Clark of Indiana girls high school athletics. I mean, get done with the North track meet, one of the first questions everybody's asking is how far did Hadley throw today? So, that's what it's been like the last few years with her, with just being so far above and beyond what everybody else is capable of doing, that she was just kind of a party of one most of the season.
Jimmy G, Jim Gordillo, HeraldTimesOnline.com, checking in today. Well, this is probably one of the, and I mean this as a compliment, this is probably one of the easiest track and field season recaps you had to write because of all of the fantastic performances here local. It wrote itself, didn't it? From an indoor championship to ESPY awards and all the wins and medals and podiums in between.
Yeah, well, it's crazy. You almost feel bad because you know, a lot of other years, you know, you look back at what, you know, Ellie Berta was able to do, you know, and Noah Summers Glenn, both of them running under a 208 and 800 and finishing 2 and 3 in the state. You know, Caleb Winders, obviously, again, a terrific year. You know, Martin Barco of Martinsville, really the only 800 runner that was able to you know, really get him all year. And plus, they come back and win the 3200 relay again. You know, DeAndre Black comes back and, you know, was able to grab, you know, 2 medals in both hurdles this year. I mean, so it was just a long list of things. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you've got to go with the folks that are coming out on top. And, you know, obviously that's, you know, Dede Eberle, you know, came within an eyelash, less than a second of bringing back 4 medals from the state meet, which is pretty well unheard of around here. And she won a state title in the 100 hurdles as well, and was able to medal in the 300s and in the long jump. And so 3 medals, again, that's pretty darn good. Obviously, Hadley completely dominant. And then, you know, what Jaden Johnson was able to do, just absolutely destroying North's sprint records and winning an unprecedented 100 and 200 sweep. I think the only area that we didn't really have a medal winner was the boys field events. And, you know, we went with Max Winalda, just you know, the consistency that he showed all year and the steady improvement that he showed from you know, about the first couple of weeks to the season to the end, and was, you know, literally, you know, had a, you know, career best, there at regional to make state. So yeah, a lot of really deserving athletes this year. And you'll probably notice that the teams are both a little bit bigger than normal, and that's just because of the, you know, you hate, you know, someone goes through the trouble of making it to the state finals and finishing as one of the top 13, 14, 15, 16 people in the state in your event. I think that's pretty darn good. And
100%
deserving of that honor.
I'm not going to tell you how to write your column, but I'm all for that. It shouldn't be this or that. It is a season, and that's where fans get confused in some other sports. If your team doesn't win a national championship, it was an unsuccessful. Well, what do you mean? Only one team, only one person can win. That's just yeah. You can have a great season and not win. I know it stinks in the moment, but when you get a little bit older and you look back at it, my coach has told us that when we got beat in the state finals. In the Final Four in 1993, said it doesn't feel like it today, but when you look back down the road, you say, "Oh, that wasn't too bad, wasn't too bad at all." So it's great to have all of these unbelievable performers ready to go. I saw a story, Kyle Nedden. I can never pronounce his name.
Nedrup.
Yeah, we've football sectionals have been shaken up a little bit. Did that affect anybody around here? I told our listeners I would find you because you know these things, and I saw some folks be Martinsville got moved around and BNL's heading down here. What's going on with North, South, and Edgewood?
I think we talked about it. I think it was back in April, maybe that shakeup was announced. I mean, North and South will be paired up with the Terre Haute schools now in a sectional, and, you know, obviously big for Edgewood to be moved back to Class 3A, so they're no longer having to butt heads with, you know, Martinsville or an East Central. And, of course, East Central's been moved up to 5A, And so that's a team that North and South maybe have to run into at some point. But that's kind of the big changes around here. Is just I think, you know, at the regional level, they're still going to have the deal with whoever wins between Castle, Evansville North, Floyd Central, and New Albany at the regional level, and then they'll come up, and then they'll run into whoever kind of wins this sort of more northeasterly portion of that southern 5A bracket.
Get out your compass, kids. Jimmy Gordillo is with us today. We got to figure out where we're going before. So Needenrip was just putting this out here just to stoke the fires for high school football. Is that what was going on?
Yeah, well, I think a little preseason hype and maybe just a little reminder of what, you know, what's ahead. So, you know, of course, this week, I guess speaking of football, you know, we've got the Indiana Football Coaches Association All-Star Game is taking place up at Decatur Central on Friday at 7 o'clock. And, you know, for us, we've got 3 kids playing in that, which is
wow.
One of the better crowds we've got. Jaron Alley, quarterback from Bloomington South, who's headed to Butler, will be playing for the South team. And then we've got Stefana Poku, who's cornerback who will be going up along with Gray Hostetler to join Kyle Trilling up there at the University of Indianapolis. He'll be playing for the South team as well. And then we've also got James Lewis, who's going up to Manchester for track and football. He'll be a got him slotted as a safety on the defense. So all three of those guys are going to be spending the next 3 or 4 days practicing up at UIndy and getting ready for the game on Friday.
Well, at least it won't be 118 degrees on Friday. 87, very seasonable weather, at least this time of year. We had the moratorium last week, Jim Gordillo. That meant everybody had to shut it down. What are we doing from this point forward in July? You don't have to go through every sport, but just more of a general where we're at on the calendar portion of the season.
Yeah, I think this is where, you know, the time of year, I guess, things kind of switch. I know, you know, basketball basically has a month where guys are, you know, playing with their high school team, and then they have a month basically where they're out there running around with their AAU clubs, and that's kind of what's going on now. You know, if you follow some of the fellows there on Twitter, you've probably seen some updates from Vince Mutadier doing some good things, J.R. Cross, and Luke Lindemann, you know, three of certainly are going to be three of the better players around here, both looking like they're having some good days up there. And then I know football will start getting some workouts in this month as they kind of get ready for, you know, get a lot of preparations getting in. And certainly for North, that's going to be big with a new head coach up there. And, you know, for Edgewood, obviously there's going to be a kind of a big turnover, I think, up there as some of the younger kids and as you know flow into that varsity program and start to get settled in there. So I think that's a lot of it. And I'm sure if you drive by North or South, you'll probably see some two or three times a week you'll see some tennis players out there getting some work in, and you'll see soccer players in and out working out as well. So yeah, even at this early date, everyone's kind of laying the foundations for the upcoming season, and you know most of that'll get started first week of August.
Jimmy G, Jim Gordillo at Jim Gordillo on the X Twitter. HeraldTimesOnline.com. Support local journalism, kids. Please, please, please. Jimmy G telling all of our great stories. He's you had your cameraman Bobby Gunn with you out on the weekend. You were at Cascades, the 96th annual Bloomington City Golf Tournament, and Sunday was busy, busy, busy in the championship flights of the men's seniors and super seniors. The best part was you had great weather on Saturday and Sunday for both of these, and that usually means good golf, and you saw some great golf at the international course, as I like to call it, the Pine and the Quarry.
Yep, yeah, it was I think most of the, usually I try to, you get to, on both days, I try to get there about 9:30 or so. That's about when those lead groups, get done with their first nine and try to catch everybody. And the crazy thing was, I think at least, there were four pairings in the men, seniors, and super seniors, and half of them were even after that first nine. And then I believe another four or five of them were one up. And then I think only two of them were more than that. I think, you know, Chris Williams was one of them, had a big, just jumped all over Braden Bunger pretty early and had a big lead. And he had one of the blowouts of the day. And then Mike Vernon wound up winning 3-2. And, you know, other than that, practically every other match wound up at least going to 17, if not 18. So I think that, portends a pretty good set of semis that we've got coming up this week. And I think there's going to, especially in the seniors and super seniors, there's going to be some matches that I'm not going to be surprised if one or two of them wind up needing more than 18 holes to get settled.
And a couple upsets per se, but the biggest one obviously was Roger Rainbolt in the Super Senior Championship. The 13 seed is the highest seed left in any of the three championship flights.
Yeah, he's kind of, I remember talking to him back in the aughts, I guess, when I first kind of started helping, Lynn Hauser with the coverage, and then he kind of disappeared from a little bit, and has come back this year, and yeah, made quite a run, knocked off Ike Martin, and turned around and beat Dick Meacham. He was one of those matches that was even and wound up getting that one up. And, you know, Rory Brown's a two-time defending champ, and he wound up having to go to 18 to beat Jeff Smith one up. And then in the bottom part, you know, as well as Dan Neubecker's been playing, he had his hands full with Dave Devitt and again has to go to 18 to win one up. And like I said, yeah, Mike Vernon over Tom Smith was the only, I guess, the only blowout of the day at 3-2. So yeah, I think it's that one's way everyone's playing right now. It's a toss up, but it'll be interesting to see if Roger can keep the ball rolling, because Rory's just one of those guys that's just the last few years I think, you know, you just when you think the king's going to fall, but he keeps finding a way to pulling things out, and he's going to see if he can become the first ever three-peat in the super senior division.
That's incredible. Number one, you would think Ike Martin has every record out there, and if there isn't one, he'd have it. But a great job, Rory Brown, and the super seniors as well. Well, we got a busy weekend. Everything. What time's everything get started on Saturday?
Yeah, that'll be 7:30. So the first group of men's will go off at 7:30, and you'll have Jason Bannister, obviously a two-time defending champ, and he's playing as well as anybody, coming off a 3-2 win. And he's going to run up against Brad McLaughlin, who had a red-hot putter working for him on Sunday to get a 2-1 win over Mitch Orr. That's you know, knocking him off is never an easy thing to do. And then on the other pairing in that, obviously, Chris Williams, like we talked about, and he'll be taking on another former Cougar, Logan Vernon, who was a 3-1 winner over Simon Delianis. And obviously, yeah, Logan's one of those guys that, that tournament means a lot to their family. And so he's really making a push to win one of these titles. And so then the seniors will be next at 7:40. That's going to be defending champ Jimmy Alexander be taking on Chuck Combs, who's in the Final Four for the first time. And then I think this is going to be, you know, the big highlight match for a lot of folks who've been following the tournament for a while, is going to be Tim Gillespie versus Troy Gillespie. And many of those you guys that have been following the tournament back in the 1990s, early 2000s know Troy Gillespie was as good as they come back in the day. And you know, he got tried his hand at a little pro golf and kind of got away from golf a little bit, but he's back and got through some family issues and whatnot. But that's going to be interesting to see those two. The last time they met actually was in 1997. Was the first year that Tim was actually able to qualify for the men's championship bracket, and those two played each other, and Troy got the best of them, as he did a lot of people back in that day. But that's going to be neat to see those two. And so we know we're guaranteed to have a Gillespie in the senior championship final. And then 7:50 will be the super seniors go off after that. And again, that'll be Brown again against Rainbolt, Neubecker against Mike Vernon, and then your men's regular seniors regular and super senior regulars will get going after that. And then on Sunday we'll come back, be the same three tee times, except you'll just have two folks in each one of those, and that'll be the men's and the seniors finals will both be best of 36 holes. And but the super seniors here this year, you know, they've kind of dialed it back to just 18. And you kind of tell, even if you've been out there, you kind of tell most years, you know, usually that 27th hole, both those guys are usually pretty cooked, because the temperatures are usually pretty warm. And so that's something they're actually considering perhaps doing with the seniors and men as well, is just going back to an 18-hole final.
All right, buddy. Great job as always. We are up against it. We have run out of real estate, which we always do with the great Jim Gordillo. Thanks, buddy. We'll get caught up next week when the champions are crowned and the Hall of Fame has been issued.
There you go, sir. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
He's the best. He's Jimmy G. And the Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour is over. Reds Baseball 6:40. JR Sports Brief will take you home next. Have a great Tuesday. Happy birthday, Chris Bailey.